and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In Ephesians chapter 6, we've been looking at the subject of husbands and wives and children. Now, we're in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Where it says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Well, we've discussed once before how that children do not belong to the parent. Children belong to the Lord. The Bible says that they are an heritage of the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now, that doesn't mean that a child's not going to do things that are wrong as they grow. Proverbs 22:6 does not mean the child will always do the right things that good parents teach, or that the child will always get saved if they are taught the right way. It doesn't mean that at all. This means if they are taught God's way, that does not ensure that they are going to get saved. Remember, every person in this world has to answer to God personally when it comes to receiving or rejecting Jesus Christ. Your child, my child, everybody's child must make their own decision when it comes to Jesus Christ. No one can force another individual to trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, I believe the verse, that's Proverbs 22:6, I believe that verse is teaching that when you raise your children according to God's plan, in other words, in the way that he or they should go, that's the child, the way he or she should go, and when he or they are old, he or they will not depart from it. What that means is your child or your children may not get saved, but they will for sure remember the right way you have taught them. They will remember. God will bring things to their remembrance, and prayerfully, they will accept Jesus Christ before leaving this world. Well, the verse in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 goes on to say, "Provoke not your children to wrath." Well, that means not to give them unreasonable commands, or by commanding them in anger. So many times we read of and we hear of parents who punish children in anger. I prefer the term corporal correction. I believe that they need to be corrected. I do not like that word punishment. I do like the word correction. So when we're asking our child to do something that is right and they do not respond correctly, then a correction must take place. But we're not to do that in anger. Children are to be governed as a means of correction. If correction is necessary, do it in such a way that they will not lose their confidence in you, but instead love you. Think of it as a learning process, just as you would make a mistake on a test and you get the wrong answer, and you go back and you find out the right answer. You have to correct that answer. Well, that's the way a child is to be treated. That child needs to be corrected. And Paul, in verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 6, has hit on the very danger to which parents are most exposed in the leadership of their children. And that is correcting them, that's the child in anger. If correction is done in anger, it will make them feel that it is right for them to be angry too. You see, one wrong does not make a right. I mean, two wrongs do not make one right. We must do this in the way that God has set down, that by example we are to lead and train and teach our children, not in anger, but in love. See, a child is prone to anger when he commands, the commands of a parent are unreasonable and severe. The spirit of a child, then, once corrected in anger, becomes irritated, and he is discouraged. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21 says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Say, that sounds like Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, where it says, "Provoke not your children to wrath." Well, we're not to do that. A child is prone to anger when a parent is evidently excited when he punishes a child. We don't enjoy, we're not to enjoy punishing a child. When that happens, the child then feels that if his father is angry, it's not wrong for him to be angry. And the very fact of anger in a parent ignites anger in the child. See, if the child submits in the case of correction that is being carried out in anger, the submission of the child is only because the parent is the strongest, not because he is right. A parent needs to correct the child because he's right, and he or she is right in that correction, in the reason for the correction. Well, there is no principle of parental leadership more important than a father should command his own temper when he inflicts punishment. And might I say that if it comes to the mother's not to let anger get out of hand, not to let the temper get out of hand. Well, the parent should punish a child not because he is angry. And by the way, I believe the father should do this. The father should take the responsibility as head of the home to take care of any correction that takes place in a child's life. That parent, he should punish a child. And I use the word punish there, and I don't like that word. I like the word correct. The parent should correct a child, not because he's angry, but because it's right. Not because it has become a matter of a personal contest, but because God requires that he should do it. And the welfare of the child demands it. The future of the child many times depends on how that child is raised. And let me say that for the most part, it does depend upon that, the success of that child. The moment when a child sees that a parent punishes or corrects him under the influence of anger, that moment the child will be likely to be angry too. And I've mentioned that before. And his anger will be as proper as that of the parent. And yet, how often is punishment inflicted in this matter, in the matters that take place in that manner? Well, once again, some parents punish instead of correct. How often does the child feel that the parent punished him simply because he was the strongest and not because it was right? How often does that happen? How often is the mind of a child left with a strong conviction that wrong has been done to him by punishment, which he has received, rather than with repentance, correction to produce repentance? That child needs to repent for the wrong that he has himself done. He should recognize that in himself. He should not see that parent correcting him or her in anger, but in the love that God has placed there. Now, the verse goes on to say, and in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, bring them up. In other words, place them under such discipline and instruction so that they can become acquainted with the Lord. Before someone can learn anything, they must be controlled. That's the reason it's so important to start early in a child's life, to train that child in discipline. Let that child realize that as they are controlled, they're going to be learning more. And the more they learn, the more they're going to see God from the parent who's training that child in the right way. Well, notice, bring them up. Bring them up, how? In the nurture. Well, the word here, nurture, means that of training a child. In other words, education, instruction, and discipline. Now here it means parents are to train up their children in such a manner as the Lord approves. And that is, they are to educate them in virtue and the things of God. And might I interject here that if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you cannot educate your child properly. That's the reason we see so much going on in government schools today. And by the way, some call these public schools. They're actually government schools run by the government. But this is the reason that so many parents fail to see things going on within government education is because they themselves are blinded to the fact that they are to bring that child up into the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that parent can't do that if they have never been born again, if they've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We must first be taught ourselves. We must first come to the feet of Jesus and learn what He has for us personally as parents. And the first thing He wants us to know is that He loves us and that He wants us to know Him as Lord and Savior. And as we get saved and we trust Him as Lord and Savior, then the Bible says that then we can train our child in the way he or she should go. When they're old, they'll not depart from it. That, once again, that doesn't mean they're going to get saved. It doesn't mean that they're not going to do things wrong. It simply means this, that they've been taught the right way and they have more of an opportunity of receiving Jesus Christ than that child is not being trained in the proper manner. And that proper manner is to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You keep working with your child. Help that child to know that, first of all, that God loves him or her, and that you love him or her just as Jesus Christ loved you and gave his life for you. And once again, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as a parent, you cannot train your child in the way he or she should go. You must trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior because he is the way you should go. He is the way, the only way that you're going to go to heaven. And your child needs to know that that's the only way they, he or she, can go to heaven is by trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Training that child to trust Jesus Christ to take them to heaven one day. Once again, before you can teach a child that, you yourself must be saved and know you're on your way to heaven. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's anybody. That's everybody. If you're a parent, you have a responsibility to God to get saved, and you have a responsibility to God to train your child in the way he or she should go. And God doesn't say that it's something that you need to decide. It's a command from God. Train up your child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. He won't forget it. But before you can do that, you must be born again. You cannot please God or please your child unless you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the reason the government schools fail. They have failed miserably, and the proof is in the pudding, as they say. As we can see how that children are being trained there to go against parents, to think that they're smarter than a parent, to do the things of this world instead of the things of God. Many times we see and hear how that children come out of school and they become, if I can use the word, thugs. They become unprofitable. But you need to get saved so that you can train your child, so that that child can be saved through your testimony. Now, the only way that that child, through your testimony, will be saved is by trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. May you trust Jesus Christ now, before it's too late. Ask Him to come into your heart, and He'll save you.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.